Well, my name is Lyle. And I wasn't going there tonight. God just took me there when I got to the building, because I wasn't going there tonight. But, you know, I know God says, hey, man, when I have a couple of drinks and smoke a little bit, he said, I dance better. Well, you don't dance no better. You just don't care how you look now. You just don't care what you look like now. It doesn't matter. But, you know, and I'm not saying anybody's wrong or anybody's right. The word says, work your soul salvation out according to what? Your fear and trembling. You know if God's talking to you. See, God's not going to call me the same as he called Marvin. And he pointed that thing out to me tonight. And that's excellent that, you know, he understands that. We're not called the same to do the same thing. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I was in a car accident. My back was a little jacked up. So I went in. They were going to do injections in my back. I never had them. And this little old lady in there, they asked her, they said, you want a sedative? And she said, no, I'm okay. And so they asked me, Mr. Kelsey, you want a sedative? Now, I remember that I'm saved and sanctified. And I want to get away from them drugs if I can. I want to stay away from them. And plus, I'm not going to let this little old lady show me up. So I told her, I said, nah, I don't need none. Tell you something. When that dude stuck that sword in my back, I screamed like a second grade schoolgirl. I screamed like nothing before. And the next time we had an injection, you know, the first thing I asked him, hey, where's that sedative you were talking about? See, God invented those things and invented people that's smart enough to use them for our own purpose. But we work out our fear and trembling according to our fear and trembling, because I knew what I was like when I smoked weed. Now, I would probably turn down the weed, because there's two things wrong with that in my life. One is I'm called to preach the gospel. And I mentor in the court system. And I'm always at places like that. I'm in corporate shambles. And it's not a good look for me to come into a meeting or the courtroom smelling like the bomb. You know what I mean? You know, the Bible says we be careful that if we have someone to visit and that they don't eat meat, that we don't eat meat in front of them. Now, it's not wrong for me to eat meat. It's not wrong to eat meat, but don't do it in front of people who could take the wrong way. You know, because that would be the first thing the enemy uses. That would be the first. See, and then when I smoked, I used to get the red-eyed screaming munchies. I ate all the time. You know, I got lazy. I want to lay back. I don't want to get lazy anymore. I don't want to lay back. You know, I'm on this campaign, another thing now, and they give me prescribed medicine, and I got some in my body. It's not marijuana, but I got the prescribed medicine, and I take it as prescribed. Because I need to be able to function in this world. You know, and I had to understand, I don't want to be so holy that I'm no earthly good. I don't want to be so heavily bound that I'm no earthly good that I don't understand reality and people. Some people may be able to take that and it doesn't bother them. Some people listen to rap music and it doesn't bother them. I'm one of those people, if I smoke a little bit. And I used to belong to a gang called the Black Gangster Disciples. And if I smoke a little bit and they play that song, Can't Trust It, it used to transform me to somebody who I really don't like today. You know what I mean? And because I use it to hype me up into that thing, you know. You may listen to that song and have a nice dance off of it. But I understand I can't do that thing. It's some things I can't do, Marvin, anymore. Doesn't make it wrong for everybody else. I had to ask myself, I just buried my mother Saturday, and I got a chance to preach my mother's funeral. Who would ever thought it? Dope fiend, gangbang, ex-prisoner, all those things, got to preach my mother's funeral. Years ago, I told my mom, I said, Mom, I want to get my life right, because when you go, I want to preach your funeral. And I fought, but I didn't think I could get a year. I couldn't get a year clean. Marvin, I couldn't get 2 months. I would get out and I would get high, hide and sneak and come back in. I would go to the meetings and go up there and get me a 30-day token like I was clean, lying about my clean day. See, the enemy had me fooled and tricked that as long as I can fool somebody, then I'm okay. I had to learn that my soul's salvation isn't predicated on what Greg thinks about me. Much as I like Greg, much as I like Mick, my soul's salvation is not predicated on what he thinks. I don't want to put on a show in front of Mick and go to hell behind the scenes. You know what I mean? I don't want to do that. I want to live right to the best of my ability. For me, I would turn on the marijuana because for me, it would trigger too many memories because that was my thing. And now that weed they got today is so loud, you smell across the street. Yep. You know, now my wife, whom I love with all my heart, has a son that smokes a lot. But he smoked back, he's 29, so. But his car, for some reason, seems to always need to go to the shop. And she wants to always loan him her car. Now, I've got a 2013 Ford Taurus. My wife's got a 2021 Nissan Rogue. So normally we go to the functions at church and stuff, we take her car. But he bought the car back last week. I'm hoping the good Lord to arrive and about knock me down. And the windows were up on the car. I said, baby, I said, we can't do this. So I use your name. Use your name too. I said, what if Pastor Martin or Marvin or Mick or any of those guys came out to visit me today? How can I explain that? You come in my house smells like the bomb. There's hardly nothing I can tell you. Because now you're going to wonder, man, is he real or what is he really doing? So we cleaned their car out inside, and the next day it was just as strong. Yeah. And I said, now what in the world is the problem? But see, then I remembered. This is the guy, well, you might not remember it now, some of you might. A couple years back, there was a white truck flipped upside down in a creek, and they never did find the guy driving the truck. That was him. That flipped one of her trucks and took off running, and he run straight home to her, this was before she was my wife, and said, hey, call and tell them the truck is stolen. Somebody need to hear this tonight, because I hadn't planned to go here tonight. What do you do, Mick? Your kid. Love him. Want the best for him. Wakes you up in the night. Hey, Pop, your truck's upside down in the lake, or the little creek, or wherever it was down there. Why don't you get up and call the police? Tell them the truck is stolen. This is just a hypothetical situation. This is a rhetorical question. I mean, this is a real situation, but this is a rhetorical question. What would you do? Would you call them? So me and her were dating at that time, and she says, "Lyle, we need to go over to the junkyard and see what's in the truck that we can salvage." I go with her. When we get inside the junkyard, she says, now he said, Lyle, he said there's weed
in the truck,
in the gas tank part. You know, you open up, little gas tank, he stuck weed in there. So I get almost to the truck, I can smell the weed. Now, so I know they smelled it, Marvin. Yeah, come on now. Come on now. Here's the preacher. Here's the preacher who swore to God he would live right, who gave my life to God, and not just my life, but my will. That I would live right, that I would walk upright. And if I live to see Saturday, it'll be 11 years since I gave my life to God and began to walk upright. Amen. So now I pop that thing and a bag of weed big as his head, almost. That's a big bag. But a big bag of weed pops out. Now I grab it. Now, because now there's a couple things going through my mind. If I smelled it, they smelled it. I'm thinking what they're doing. They smelled it, look it, found it, they put it back. And they're waiting for you to come get it so the police can run out the back room on you. This is what I'm thinking about. But see, I'm a preacher. I'm God's preacher. So that's not going to work with me because I'm not going to cheat this. I'm going to take this and tear it open and smash it into the ground or put it into take it to the garbage. And my wife says, oh, she wasn't my wife. This is my girlfriend. No, 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 give it here. what are you going to do with it? I'm going to give it back to him.
You ain't going to get out of the yard.
You want me to walk back through this office and out this yard Yeah, you see the police star, is Parker's, whatever it's called. Yeah. You see the police stickers all over the window and everything. You want me to carry this back through this thing and walk back out of here so that you can give it to your kid, and then next Monday or 2 Mondays from now, I get to go to the Tabernacle and preach about how I'm living right. I get to go back to Wings and Deliverance and give a testimony of how God delivered me. Let me tell you something. There's no testimony without a victory. There's no victory without a fight. How are you going to preach to somebody that God delivered can deliver them, but he has delivered you? Amen. I'm going to take this dope back home and give it to... I said, no, baby, we ain't going to play that game. She said, well, put it in... I said, I'm not putting it anywhere. I said, I'm going to throw it in the trash. Yeah. We had an argument right there. This is the woman I love. We had an argument. So I said, give it to me. I mean, you guys that are married, some of you guys are married. I said, hey, man, it's a sticky wicket. Some of you guys been married, and you know you want home to be at peace.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than going home with attitudes and ain't talking to each other and calling names and turning with your back, sleeping in another room. Oh, my God. And I'm thinking, Lord, have mercy. Why are you getting me in this? Why don't you come by yourself? So I give her this big old bag of weed. And I don't know where she tucked it, but she tucked it somewhere. And everywhere she go, I can smell it. You know what I mean? I know that. You know you smell that weed today. You could be in traffic. And somebody could be on the other side of the road. And you smell it.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, my goodness, God. So she ended up going back, and I was pouting because she wasn't my wife. I couldn't make her do nothing then. So she took it back to him. And I brought that story up because when I thought about that, and I kept smelling this weed in my garage, I went out and I checked the gas tank. Because the smell wouldn't go away. I had sprayed everything you could spray. We washed the car, vacuumed it out, put everything in there but the kitchen sink. I popped open the lid, and guess what? Loop, right on my feet, there's a bag of weed. Now I'm married now. Mm-hmm. I'm married now. See, listen, let me tell you something. Everybody wants peace in their home. Second Peter, I believe it is, talks about us treating our wives, understanding that they're the weaker vessel. But he also said, if you can't run your home, then you can't do nothing in the church. If you can't be the head of the house at home, how in the world are you talking about being the head of the church? How are you talking about being anything in the church when you can't run your home? There's only one man in my house. See, God didn't marry two wives when he married me to this woman. I'm nobody's wife. I'm a husband. And we're going to run my home decent and in order. If not, I gotta go.
Amen.
I gotta go. Now, that's a hard thing to say because I love this woman and I'm almost 100 years old and I don't want to die alone. She's my best friend, my confidant, cooks good, looks good, and my partner. But she just can't get over trying to protect this boy. And she came out and said, Pilot, come here. She comes out there. I said, this is why I use your name. I said, what if Pastor Martin or Marvin or Mick or Judge or Whitney Davis, anybody on the chief, because I work with the 10-Point Coalition. I work hand-in-hand with the chief of police. I said, what if Steve Reed, what if they came in here? What would they think about me? What would they believe in us? I'm supposed to be living right. I got a court thing in my phone, a quarter to bring my telephone in the courthouse because they trust me. I said, we can't do that here. She got mad at me. We bickered for a minute. She grabbed the bag and know what she did with it. I went in and sat down on the bed. She wouldn't talk to me for a while. And in my heart of hearts, I began to contemplate on where I should go. I began to contemplate on how, you know, I can't live like this. I said, I can't do this. So we began to talk. I said, a marriage cannot work if the wife isn't first with her husband, or if the husband isn't first to his wife. I said, your siblings can't come between me and you. My mother and father can't come between me and you. Your kids can't come between me and you. So many marriages break up because people talking about, you know, especially their other people's kids. Now you married into this, you know, adopted the kids basically, and she's going to protect them from you. She's going to lie to you for them. She's going to hide things from you for them. It's not going to work in my home. So how would I had to get there? I had to get there because I came from the squares back in the day where the police was chasing somebody back in the 60s or whatever. You hide them in the house. Come on, get in here. And we believe that to be true. We believe that. But the Bible talked about being born again. When I became born again, meaning I had to relearn everything that I had learned wrong. I had to learn, Mick, how to walk again. I had to learn how to talk again. I had to get my belief system. I had to lose that impaired belief system. So I told her, he can't use your truck no more, Posse. I said, he got to rent a car or whatever. You know, I said, it's not that I don't want to try to help him, but I can't let him tear down our home, and I can't let him come between me and you. I can't do it. We have to raise a standard, or let the Lord raise a standard in our lives. What is it that you're bringing between you and God? What thing is more important than your relationship with Jesus? Yeah, you don't want to look square because you're around people you grew up with now. You're around tough guys sometimes. You're around some of the old fellas, the old school, so you don't want to come and look weak. So we sidestep our relationship. We put it on the back burner. The Word of God says, if you would be ashamed of me in front of people, I'll be ashamed of you in front of my Father. Yep. I got a brother still out there on that dope. If you ever ride down Lewis Street, you've seen him. Crazy looking little thing. Doesn't look nothing like my brother anymore. But he's my brother and I love him. Yep. One of my friends came to my mom's funeral this weekend. From Evansville. He's going to stay at the hotel. I said, no, brother. You ain't got to stay at the hotel. You come and stay with me. And him and I was going down to take something to my brother. It was raining. And I see my brother's shoes laying in a field. I see his coat. And I began to wonder. I said, man, that's Buster stuff right there. What? So I went down to the mission. And I see my brother sitting at a table. He's got a hospital thing around his wrist. One sock, no shoes. Now I'm feeling all kind of miserable. But Pastor, I've gone. When he come home years ago, I went and got him. Tried to buy everything I could, Mick, to help him. I tried to get everything I could to get him on the right track. So I go in there and get him. I said, hey, man, where are your shoes at? He said, I don't know, man. Hard for me. So I go outside, and some guy said, look, I got a pair of shoes I give him. I say, well, what do you want for him? He said, I don't want nothing. I said, well, here's a $10 bill. Just take it, man. You know, I'd had a few dollars. Just take it, man. He said, thank you. And my brother get to the door and throw the shoes down. I guess they wasn't good enough for him. Mm. Now, he'd been walking around outside barefooted, looking like first one thing and then another. And we begin to argue. I said, what is wrong with you, man? I said, what in the world is wrong with you? So finally, I sat in the car for a minute and I kind of prayed in my mind. I talked to my buddy over here and you know, tears were trying to come in my eyes and trying to hold up. As I began to watch, he took his shirt, the bottom of his shirt, and blew his nose in his shirt. He's standing there on his walker, one sock on, no shoes, looking like I don't know what. That doesn't look like nothing come out of my mother. hadn't shaved, and I don't know when. Mouth was white as a ghost. Eyes had dunk all in them. And I was so hot, I didn't know what to do. I called my wife. I called my brothers, other brothers and stuff, and told them, first, man, this idiot is down here. You know, because, Nick, I wonder, if I could whoop it into him, I'd have whooped it into him. Come on and do something, man. Put up a fight. So I got him. Told him, come on, man. Get in the car. I called my wife. I'm saying, I told her, the bus is down here looking crazy, babe. I told her the story I just told you. She said, I'll bring him home. Now, grant you this. My mother just passed away a couple weeks ago, 10 days, wherever it was. I went and got him and brought him home then. Stayed in my home about 3-4 days and wanted to go back down to the corner. And I said, man, where are you going? He said, I need to get out for a while. I said, well, I'll take you. You'll come with me. I got some things to run, and I'll bring you back. You know, I give him clothes and stuff. He had more clothes that I could use. I give him bottles of perfume or a bottle of cologne, all kinds of stuff to try to get him back right. He ended up leaving. And then I find him down here after this. This all before he buried my mother. Friday, I'm at the wake, and I'm sitting in there. Now, just listen to me. I know I'm not going to be very long. And I'm sitting in the wake in the front row, greeting the people, trying to hold up, because this is my mother. And one of my cousins come in and say, hey, man, why are you picking on your brother? Blah, blah. And I said, huh? I said, why, man, why are you dogging your brother? Blah, blah, blah. But this cousin, he drinks a lot, lives on Lewis Street down there, so I didn't pay attention to him, you know. But now, after a while, some other people. Then one of my cousins came up and said, hey, man, come on, you need to go outside. I said, man, I don't want to go outside right now. I said, my sister's having a hard time right here. And, you know, this is my mom. I need to be here to greet the people. But you need to come outside and apologize to your brother. I said, apologize to my brother for what? So my brother's been out there in the parking lot in the truck looking diseased is the best word I can say. You can see the demon on him, Pastor. It's no longer him talking. It's the demon talking. It's that drug talking, that addiction talking. And he's screaming, hollering, I would never turn my back on you. I just looked at him, and I'm fighting Mick to have compassion. Because I remember when I was out, but I'm fighting to have compassion. I'm holding on from not saying nothing real crazy or negative. I said, Buster, do you want to go in and see Mama? I ain't going in there messing with these. Someone called my family a bunch of names. Now, none of them want to try to help me. I said, Buster, we don't mind helping, but you've got to help yourself. I said, every time one of us try to help you, you take what we give you or do for you and you throw it away. And then 3 days later, you're right back where we found you. I'm not going to say, I said, I tell you what, Buster, we'll wait till everybody leaves and then we'll take you in so you can see Mama. I'm not going in there, man. I've got custody going on, man. He interrupted me saying goodbye to my mom on this garbage. What do you do, man of God? God gives you choices and he don't give you manuals. The Bible is the manual what he gives you. So if you've got no word in you, you're not stored up. You've got no word in you, you smack him in his mouth. You've got no word in you, you spit in his face. You've got no word in you, you punch him in the face. Because that's what you've always done. That's the only thing to you at this point will beat this ignorance. But I'm here to tell you, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pull it down the strongholds. We no longer got to live that way. We no longer got to be trapped because somebody else is trapped. What we begin to do is walk away and begin to pray that God will deal with this because I can't deal with this. I began to pray. This was Friday, and then that Saturday, no. Was that Sunday? We rode down there? Yeah, Sunday we rode down there. It was Saturday or Sunday, whatever day it was, we rode down there and found that seen this stuff up there in the doggone field. So my wife said, bring him home. So I bring my brother home once again. He's at my house right now. And my wife really has a soft, you know, on him for him in this way. So he says things to try to pit me and my wife against each other. The first time he did it, you know, I'm ready to rear up, throw that cane to the floor, and I still got one good hand. I'm ready to put that on him. You know, And then he's talking about telling Buster, you got to eat, because he was in the kitchen. He was talking about how none of the family want to help him. His kids are nobody. I said, Buster, you never did anything for your kids. I said, you never paid support. You never raised your kids. You was never there. I said, now you're grown. And then they reach for you time and time again, but you keep going back to prison. You keep going back to the streets. I said, nobody's going to help you if you don't help yourself. Then he began to tell me how I'm badgering him. Eating a plate of my food. He's telling me how I'm badgering him. Wearing my clothes. He's telling me how I'm badgering him. Keep the TV on all night and the light on all night where I pay the bills, but I'm badgering him. You know, smelling like my colognes, but I'm badgering him. So the Bible says be slow to speak and slow to anger. Somebody need to take this with you. Be slow, because the devil's going to try to tempt you, and he can only hurt you with the people you love. Right. See, that wouldn't have bothered me so much if the neighbor was acting like that. Wouldn't have bothered me that much. It would have been, oh man, something wrong with that guy, but not when it's home. So then he's going to tell my wife, look, my wife said, loud. She said, by loving kindness have I drawn thee. And he turned her to me, yeah, this don't look like much like loving kindness. When the two outfits I just got for you last week, you don't even know where they are. You throw them away or whatever, sold them. Leather coat I just gave you, nice leather coat. I just gave it to you. And you haven't had it 2 weeks. You don't know where it is. But when he's talking about, am I not showing loving kindness? You know, he came the last time he stayed, he come in, and I think he's jealous because he's my older brother, and he wants to be where I'm at. Like, I want to be where you are, Marvin, but I didn't want to do the work. I wanted what you had, Mick, but I didn't want to do the work. It's a journey. And I try to tell him, I'll walk it out with you, but you got to start. He went in the laundry room, and I got some nice suits, two-piece walking suits, and he took two of them, put in the washer for some reason. They're dry clean only. Now, he's smart enough to know that. He's 63. He starts the washer. So when I came home, my wife said, you're going to be mad. I said, why? What happened, baby? And she told me. I said, first off, why is he washing our clothes? I mean, you don't got to wash our clothes. My wife washes our clothes. And you know these are dry clean only. Ah, man, I just seen them there, so I put it. And I want to smack him. Mick, I almost need handcuffs to keep my hand in my pocket. I want to go outside his noodle. But this is where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. I'm telling somebody this because there's something in your life that's trying to pull you away. There's something in your life trying to agitate you. There's something in your life trying to tell you you are not who God called you to be. But I'm here to tell you that thing is a lie. It's a lie from the pit of hell. You are who God called you to be. Walk that thing out. See, you got to learn to walk in your deliverance. I had to learn to walk because the very next day, my wife came in the garage, me and my brother was, and she got a towel, and it's full of toilet paper. So what's that? Somebody put this in the washing machine with a bunch of toilet paper and just started it. Nothing but a towel and a bunch of toilet paper. So I began to think, and it's like my brother, he's doing that to agitate you. See, Mick, and I'm not good at being agitated on purpose. You know what I mean? I'm not good at that. But I have to ask God to lead me, Pastor. I don't always know. I called Pastor and I called Marvin. I said, hey, just pray for me. I said, I need you to pray for me right now. And they began to pray because I want to hold on, because I'm going to tell you something. Your salvation is not predicated on how people treat you. Your salvation is not predicated on what people do to you. Your salvation is predicated on what you do for people and how you treat them. You got to understand that you can't lose nothing in the name of the Lord and not get it replaced. You can't lose nothing in the name of God and not get it replaced. How can you be an example when you're part of the problem? If you used to ride down Lewis Street and didn't know me and see me and my brother in the middle of the street fighting, who you think would be the fool? You can't tell the fool from the man of God. We got to carry ourselves in a way. You in a halfway house, or you in whatever you're in, whatever's going on, you just back with your family. You got to carry yourself in a way that you show integrity in all that you do. They don't got to treat you right. Be the best you can be. They tell you it's your day to clean the bathroom. Go in there and clean the bathroom better than anybody else has cleaned that bathroom. When it's your day to wash the dishes, go in there and don't just wash them, put them up too. sweep the floor. Show them that you are a man or woman of God, and that those storms are going to shake you, that you have built your house on a strong foundation. You have built your house on the rock and not on no sand. Amen. We got to hold on because the enemy's trying to get you back. And who knows, if you let him get you back this time, that you'll ever make it back. He might want to get you out there one more time and close the door. The word says, behold, I come quickly. He said, your reward is in my hand. Those that are filthy, let them stay filthy. Those that are clean, let them stay clean. I just believe in all my heart tonight that everybody in this room is clean. You stay clean, and when you need help, if you're a mentor in this room, raise your hand. Look around and see the mentor. If you need help, come to somebody. Call them. Get some numbers. Pray. Don't let the, now they have a saying in Narcotics Anonymous. It said, an addict alone, Marvin, is in bad company. I had to learn that. So don't sit at home by yourself and think that you can figure this thing out all alone. Sometime you need help. Sometime you need help. He sent the disciples out by twos. He said, two are stronger than one, because if one fall, other one can help him up. We're not islands. We need to understand that this is a spiritual warfare we're in. And the enemy's going to use the people you love. So hang in there. Keep God first. Trust your mentors. Read your word. And call one another. Absolutely. That's all I got tonight. Anybody got any questions?
Amen. Amen.
Good job. Good job.
Pray for me.
All right. I will. Yes, ma'am.
I wanted to see if you can pray for my daughter, Celine Palmer. I'm on
sober
now. She's back active using again.
We're going to pray for tonight. Oh, you stand, everybody raise your hand. Point your hand toward this young lady. Stand up, young lady. Point your hand toward her. Pastor Martin, would you please pray for her daughter and that situation going on in her life?
Father, we pray now that she will strengthen her daughter. Give her the right spirit. Give her the right mind. Give her the courage. Give her what she needs.
Yes, Lord.
You focus on who you are. Bring her out. We know you can, because you have the power.
Yes, Lord.
Thank
yes,
you for your presence here tonight.
Yes, Lord.
The words we've heard tonight.
Yes, Lord.
We pray that somebody has been encouraged. We know
yes,
what
Lord.
The word can do.
Yes, Lord.
If anybody that's going through anything tonight, we ask that you just strengthen them as only you can.
Yes, Lord.
Give her a daughter.
In the name of Jesus.
Courage.
Yes.
The motivation.
Yes, Lord.
And the spirit.
Yes, Lord.
That only you can give.
Yes.
And we will forever give you the praise.
Yes, Lord.
Glory and honor.
Yes, Lord.
In
the Son and Holy Ghost. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Now listen, if you don't have a church home and you don't trust church on Sundays, this Monday night meeting can be your church home. That man back there, the pastor, he'll talk to you, he'll baptize you, let you join this place, whatever you want to do. We want you to be whole. You know, we want to be brothers and sisters. I want to, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. All right. Marvin.
Yep.
Come on, you pray. Stand up, Greg. We can raise your hand towards you. Have a big target to reach. Stick your hands out for Greg, everybody. Toward.
Father, thank you for Greg. I've known you for a long time.
Yes.
You've just gifted him in so many ways.
His yes.
Smile lights up a room.
Yes, Lord.
I just thank you for him. I know that he's just been kind of back and forth. It seems a little bit as far as coming here, and he loves you and wants to. Good relationship with you, and I just pray you help him to do that. Pray
yes,
physically
Lord.
For the medical issues that he has.
Yes, Lord.
He said, yeah, he's lots of them, and you've got him through this, and I pray you help him through this one also. Give the doctor his wisdom.
Yes.
I just pray you'll heal him.
Yes, Lord.
Also pray for his other half.
And yes, Lord.
It's hard.
Yes.
Male and female relationships, and the enemy can use that
yes, Lord.
To destroy us. And
yes, Lord.
Anger and struggles, and I just pray
yes,
for
Lord.
Him now that you'll give him peace and
yes,
love
Lord.
And gentle words to say,
yes,
wisdom
Lord.
That only can come from you.
Yes, Lord.
I pray for her and just pray that whatever is going on, that you'll just give peace and calmness.
Yes, Lord.
And, I don't know. I pray that you'll just bring them together somehow.
Yes, Lord.
And help Greg to take the leadership there.
Yes, Lord.
As far as being gentle and kind and loving and
yes, Lord.
Forgiving and humble.
Yes, Lord.
I just thank you that you care about us, and especially about relationships, and that
yes,
you
Lord.
Uses those, and I just pray you
yes, Lord.
Give Greg special strength and wisdom with her.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, you know, I want to say this, and we'll get out of here. I let my brother sleep down in the basement, because I got somebody in the guest room. He's down, we got a big, nice basement, you know, a big TV down there and everything. He's sleeping in that part. But now I got a king-size bed in that room right off the side. So he told me, man, this couch hurt my leg. I said, man, it's a bed back there. You can go back there and get in the bed. There's no TV back there. I want to say there's no TV in that porch you've been sleeping on either. You know what I mean? But I didn't. God bless you.